Up top, Sim was straining, his face reddened and veins popping on his neck as he hauled JB toward the surface. As the body reached the top of the wall, it caught on the uneven surface, and to get JB over the lip, Sim had to strain with every ounce of strength, bracing his feet in the loose soil that provided little traction. JB's unconscious form flopped over the wall around the well and hit the ground, raising a cloud of dust as it hit the earth hard.
Whew. Damn.
Finally, Sim trusted his strength enough to walk over to the prone body and bend to retrieve the rope. He lifted JB's head and looked at the battered and bloody face.
Bastard. You're more trouble than you're worth. Let's see what Xander has to say about you.
Sim poked his head over the lip of the well and stared down at the point of light below.
How you doing?
Nearly finished. Where's that fucking rope?
I can't get that fucking knot you tied around the bastard out. You have to climb up without it. Nah, I'm just pulling your chain.
Dickhead.
Sim tossed the end of the rope down the well. When Hafler had pulled himself up, they stood over the body, considering.
Well, reckon we should just chill the fucker now and save us a lot of trouble.
Nah, let's see if he comes around first. Take him back and see what Xander says. I reckon he'll be interested to know just how this fucker ended up down there.
Shit. I know you're right, but that means we gotta carry this son of a bitch back to the Ville.
Between them, the two men picked up the armorer's body and began the long haul back to the Ville. JB was out cold, a motionless deadweight. Gradually, the landscape changed a little. The scrub became a little denser as the two men hit the remains of an old pre-dark woodland.
Hey! What do you two assholes got there?
Hey, Hafler! Hey, Sim!
Whereas the first Zek man had a lean face framed by long, greasy black hair, the second had a bullet head on which the hair was savagely cropped. He also had a cigar clamped in his jaws.
Hey, how'd you know it was us, Deke?
My man Upton here says assholes. It can only mean you two.
Oh, fuck you.
Upton, who was as tall and rangy as the shape of his face suggested, scrambled out of the sec dugout to examine what the two men were carrying. He prodded the armorer's inert body with the end of the remade Sharp's rifle he was carrying.
So where you find this one?
Weirdest thing. We are covering this well in south.
Don't tell me. Silberg and Denning? Lazy fucks.
Exactly. One of the wells was blocked, and when we looked down it, what did we find but Laughing Boy here? Fuck knows how he got there, but there he was, blocking the water flow.
Never seen him before. And he don't look like one of the scum. So he's not a muty and not on convoy. A real little mystery.
Only till the bastard wakes up. Xander will get it out of him.
Yeah, but we'll probably never get to know.
Deke clambered out of the dugout to join them. He had his Lee Enfield 303 slung casually over his shoulder.
Xander's Baron. Guess it's his right to know and his right to tell us or not.
Maybe, but I'm curious.
Curiosity chilled the cougar. Something my mama used to say.
Really? That's funny. All she used to say to me was, more, more, harder, harder.
fuck it. We can't stand around here all day. We got meat to deliver before it goes off. Come on, Hafler. See you fuckers later.
Another half mile brought them to the outer defenses of the Ville. Their path across the scrub crossed a couple of dirt tracks and then finally met up with an old two-lane blacktop that was scarred, pitted, and twisted by the quakes and ravages of the nuclear winter. It was used regularly by the convoys of traders that came in and out of their Ville. When they came to the road, they turned right and headed toward the Ville. It was a squat Ville with buildings no bigger than two stories high, all either the remnants of the pre-dark suburban development or constructions that had been erected around the existing buildings. It gave the Ville a lopsided, nightmarish look. Everything was either brown or gray. A pall of smoke hung over the whole area. Encircling the Ville, broken only on the blacktop by two heavily reinforced steel and concrete bunker houses that acted as sec posts, was a barrier of old barbed wire. Sharp fragments of steel and metal glittered here and there, up to a height of 8 feet. They approached the sec posts, grim and foreboding. Anyone inside could see for miles. Sim and Hafler were only about a half mile away, and they were known to the sec crews. So, as with the earlier sec post, they were greeted by sec men who came out to meet them. All three sec men were dressed in dusty combat fatigues, carrying AK-47s.
Who's that? I don't recognize him.
You wouldn't. No one does so far.
They were waved through the sec post, and they gratefully entered the boundaries of the ville, marked by a banner that hung limp in the still air, strung between the two sec posts. Its lettering was faded against the bleached-out cloth, but still readable. The name of the ville was Duma. Sim and Hafler had seen the banner so many times they didn't even acknowledge it as they passed under, continuing their trudge toward the heart of the ville. The ville was built around a system of tracks and roads hacked into the dust bowl, radiating either side of the blacktop, which cut through the ville. From one end of Duma, you could see clearly the sec posts guarding the road leading out the other end. Dwellings and businesses were one and the same, with everyone trying to hustle something. Most had signs outside selling goods, some were bars, and some were gaudy houses. There was no division between the trade area and the living area, and children ran wild among the streets, trying to steal trinkets and dried fruits and meats from their displays. Only two areas differed from the rest of the ville. A cleared space on either side of the blacktop, fenced in and guarded, offered parking for the wags of the trading convoys. The ville's baron figured that the convoys would spend more jack-in-the-ville if they could leave their wags protected by his force, for a small consideration. The other area lay to the right of the blacktop from the direction they had entered. The fenced-off area, with three old buildings inside, represented the baron's personal dwelling and trading space. It was the only place where people weren't allowed to walk freely. This was where Sim and Hafler headed, carrying their prize. JB was still unconscious and had remained so throughout the journey. Sim and Hafler wondered if the bastard had died on them.
Who the fuck is that?
We found this heavy lump of shit clogging up a well a few clicks out of the ville. Figured the Baron should know about him soon as possible.
Damn, that's a weird one. Guess the Baron will reward you for this.
Not to incur his wrath for bringing their find back dead would suit them. Both fervently hoped that their charge was still breathing, as they hadn't checked for some time. The compound in which Xander, the Baron of Duma, lived, was heavily guarded. Sec men walked around inside and outside the buildings, dissuading any of the ville dwellers from stealing while they were inside the compound fence. The buildings that housed the Baron's home and headquarters were three old pre-dark houses. Walls had been ripped out to form long halls, and rich hangings and ornaments traded with the convoys adorned them. Heavy furniture reflected the dark tastes of the man who ran Duma, and also of his father, who had founded the ville. Sim knew that at this time of the day, Xander would be in the building he reserved for meeting the incoming traders, and for dealing with any complaints or requests from the residents. Xander had a reputation of driving hard but fair deals, which was how he had built up the ville. The two workmen carried the armorer through the entrance to the building, where the sec man on door duty just gave them a puzzled glance. Sim struck out at a marching pace toward the dais where Xander was seated on a heavy wooden throne. Two workmen carrying a filthy and unconscious body piqued the Baron's interest.
Well, well, what do you got for me?
Sim and Hafler unceremoniously dumped JB's body in front of the Baron.
Sir, we found this man at the bottom of a well outside the ville. He was clogging it up something fierce. We figure he's still alive, and you want to know about it as soon as possible.
Xander sat back and steepled his fingers, suppressing a smile.
Now that is something to make life a little more interesting. Take him to the security block and get a healer to have a look at him. I want him to live so I can find out what the fuck brought him here. You did well, boys, and I won't forget it.
Xander dismissed them with a gesture, and they picked up the armorer's inert form and carried him off. Hafler was irritated, having expected some kind of reward. Sim was just glad to get out in one piece. Escorted by a couple of sec men, Sim and Hafler carry JB out of the building and back into the throng beyond the gate. With the sec men clearing the way, Sim and Hafler made quick time to the secure block. This was a heavily guarded building with barred windows, built to house Jolt or brew-crazed convoy crew who ran amok while spending or being fleeced of their jack. The rooms of the building were windowless barren cells, containing plain plank beds and sputtering overhead lights that were fed by a generator on the outside of the building. The two workmen placed JB on a plank bed and waited awkwardly while one of the sec men went to fetch a healer.
You need us to stay here?
The sec man Sim addressed shrugged but said nothing. So they waited. Eventually, the second sec man returned with a healer. Grant was a man in his 50s with a shock of white hair and a limp acquired in a fight 30 years before. He had been a sec man then, and had trained as a healer rather than be put on to menial tasks such as sewage clearance, his limp making him unfit for sec or work party duty. Despite his relatively advanced years, he still had the mien of a sec man and struck fear in both Sim and Hafler. He knew both men. Every worker passed through his hands at some point.
Boys, tell me where and when.
Sim told his story over once more, stopping to clarify when Grant questioned him on certain points about where JB had been in the well and what it had looked like around him. Sim had to get Hafler to answer these questions, and the younger man was visibly rattled talking to the grim-faced healer. Finally, Grant was satisfied.
Okay, you boys can go. For now.
They were only too pleased to hurry out, leaving the healer and the sec man alone with the outlander. Grant examined the armorer. To his surprise, there were no broken bones, although the man had several contusions and swelling around the back of his skull and his left temple, which suggested he had been hit several times. There were some animal bites and multiple bruises and contusions around the body, but nothing major. There were no swellings or lumps to suggest internal hemorrhaging. Grant nimbly rifled through the canvas bags JB had on his person.
We'll just have to wait for him to come around. See what he says. That man's dehydrated, so we'll need water nearby, and someone to try to wet him from time to time. I'll send a servant. What really interests me is where he got all them blasters and grins. Funny things to be carrying around for no reason in the middle of a quake. Tell you what, boys, he's gonna have a hell of a headache when he wakes up. And an even bigger one when he has to answer all the questions Xander will put to him.
Oh, dark night. Where the fuck?
JB opened swollen eyelids. He had been accustomed only to darkness for the past few days, and the sudden flare of light made his head spin, and he closed his eyes again. He could vaguely recall the last time he had been awake, and how much he had been hurting. He could still feel aches and pains all over, but now at least it was bearable. Someone crossed the room and lifted his head. Then water spilled from a cup down his chin and onto his chest. He opened his eyes to see a gaunt, aging man with a shock of white hair holding the cup to his lips. JB didn't recognize the man and wondered why he was being so good to him. Grant let JB's head back onto the pillow. The armorer had been stripped and washed down while he was unconscious, and the plain plank bed now boasted a thin mattress, a blanket, and a linen sheet.
About time. They told me you were starting to stir a couple of hours back and I came straight over. You've kept me waiting.
I'll try to remember that next time. Yeah.
JB struggled to move and support himself on one arm, taking a good look at his surroundings.
Funny man. Let's see how funny you are when you've got some questions to answer.
Yeah? I got a few of my own. Like, why am I in here? This appears to be a cell.
It is a cell. A secure unit to make sure you can't escape.
Now you're the one being funny.
I didn't know what kind of mutie you might be until you woke up. Could have been strong enough to cause some damage in an ordinary healing room.
I'm a mutie. And it hurts too much to even think about escaping. Shit. I must have been fucked up if I've been out how many hours?
Hours? They brought you in here 3 days ago. You were out then, and you've been out ever since.
JB struggled to take the information in. He tried to think back, but all he had were a few garbled images. Mostly he just remembered the water and the pain.
Why have you been keeping me alive, tending to me? 3 days is a lot of time to spend on an outlander.
JB realized that he had never seen the man in front of him before. But he couldn't clearly remember seeing anyone before. Of course, he knew what people looked like, how they acted. But he couldn't recall anyone he'd ever known. Grant leaned forward, studying the armorer like he was some kind of insect.
Why'd you say that? You say it like you think you know me.
JB shook his head, instantly regretting it as the world began to spin. His stomach turned over, and he thought he was going to throw up. He gulped down the bile, took a deep breath, then answered as best he could.
It's just that as I said it, I realized I didn't know if I knew you.
But how can you know me? You never been here before.
JB screwed his eyes tight, trying to focus his thoughts. It was a simple sentence, but thinking was still cloudy, the throb of his pain cutting through.
I didn't say that I thought I knew you, only that I wasn't sure. Like, when you see someone you don't know, you know that. Like, you know when you see someone you do. But I didn't know if I did or didn't.
So you're telling me you lost your memory?
Grant stood over JB, almost looming. If it was meant to be intimidating, it was working, especially while JB felt so weak. But why the hell should he be scared? They'd kept him alive this far, so they had to have a reason.
Look, I can't explain why I feel like I do. I just don't know.
Grant looked down, saying nothing. Finally, he nodded and went to the other side of the room, where he sat on a wooden chair. It was the only other piece of furniture in the room, and it had been brought in especially for him. JB noticed Grant's limp as he made his way to the chair, and figured that the man had earned it the hard way.
How did you get to be at the bottom of a well?
What?
You were found at the bottom of a well, blocking the flow of water. How did you get to be there?
JB leaned back on his bed and closed his eyes.
I remember being in the water, swept along by a tidal strength wave. It threw me against rocks, battered me. My lungs were burning to what air I had down. I was dragged under once again. I had the weight of a rock on me, holding me down. Before that were the animals biting and snapping. Everything was dark.
Because of Grant's early years in SEC, he also conducted interrogations of enemy or dissident forces. There was nothing he hadn't seen over the past 20 to 30 years, and he had a nose for the truth. But this truth wasn't enough.
Very well. I'll tell you what I think, shall I?
Does it matter?
It does. Because it determines whether we dispose of you right now. I'll tell you what I think. You were found at the bottom of a well. This was following a quake in the area where we expected some damage. What we didn't expect was you. I think that you were in a cave system. And that during the quake, you were thrown into the river that we tap. And were forced through the river's channels until you arrived up here.
I kind of figured that myself.
Quite. But we didn't know this, did we? And now we do. And I also believe you when you say you can't remember. At least not right now. What you were doing underground in the first place. You don't look like one of the scum, that's for sure.
JB shot him a questioning glance.
We have a little problem with the mutie community around these parts. Mostly they keep themselves. But they do like to do a little scavenging.
Which is why you thought I might be a mutie, right?
Exactly. We also consider how much of a threat you may be. Seeing as you were carrying enough grants and Plaz X to blow up half the veil, ammo for several blasters.
And a Uzi, Smith & Wesson M4000, and a Tecna hunting knife.
Interesting. Do you happen to remember what you were doing with all that ordnance?
JB didn't answer immediately. He considered that. There was something that was trying to make its way out from the mist that covered his past, but it just couldn't force its way through.
It's what I do.
I see.
Grant rose to his feet and went to the door. Beyond him, JB could see a heavyset man in fatigues, an AK-47 slung over his shoulder.
We'll want to talk to you some more, but rest for a while.
Who's we? You keep saying we, but there's only one of you.
Now, I'm not acting alone, of course. All these questions are on behalf of Xander, and I'll be reporting to him shortly. He'll no doubt want to see you himself in due course. I would hope that more of your memory may have returned by then.
JB was about to ask who Xander was, but was forestalled by Grant's sudden abrupt departure.